We're thinking really about quality work, and then today about this whole aspect of constructive teamwork with others. I don't know if you are in a team, or have you ever played in a sports team with others? You feel that you're outside on the wing somewhere and nothing much is happening, but you're part of it. Vital. Well, I think of my old battered typewriter. It's now gone to the place where all good typewriters go. But, you know, I remember one day when the N flew off. No, the M flew off. Just a little screech of metal and it went across the room and I lost my M. Well, then I thought, okay, I'll use N's from now on instead of M's. Didn't make my letters look very strange for a bit. Just one letter, the whole thing was in confusion. Well, that can happen to a team. And here is a situation where everybody was required to help get these walls done. It's a spiritual work, actually. God had commanded them to get the walls of Jerusalem built, or rather, shall we say, rebuilt, after the disasters that had overtaken Israel and Judah. Do you remember the story? I mean, let's make perhaps verse 6 our main verse. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. That's the idea of commitment, a team working together on a joint project. Nehemiah himself was a child of the captivity in Babylon. What had happened was that the great kingdom of Assyria had come and gone. Then in came the kingdom of Babylon to replace it there in the Middle East. Vast, mighty, unprincipled. And because of the unfaithfulness of God's people in Israel and Judah, the nation had been carried off into captivity in Babylon, 500 miles from their own place. And after many years in captivity, in came yet a third kingdom, and this was the kingdom of the Medes and Persians headed by Cyrus. And he had an enlightened policy and said, okay, you Jews, yeah, go home. And the days of the exile became over. Many went home. Still many stayed back there in what had been Babylon, was now the Medes and Persians. And Nehemiah was one of those. And he was the butler to the king of the Medes and Persians, Artaxerxes, and in a position therefore pretty close to the king. And he gets his opportunity one day when he is able to say to him, look, the walls of my own beloved capital city are still in a state of ruin. And it was in fact Artaxerxes who brought the rebuilding of the walls to a grinding halt earlier on. And it's Nehemiah who intercedes and says, could I go back and start the rebuilding? He gives him permission. And this is the result, this story here. The rebuilding of the walls. You say, what a lot of fuss about some walls. Well, the thing is that there were days of national reconstruction. Stage one, the temple had been restored under Zerubbabel. Vital, because it was the spiritual shrine at the center. The laws, secondly, stage two, had been reinstated under Ezra, the scribe. So we have the book of Ezra just before Nehemiah. Now stage three, the city walls remained to be rebuilt, and it happened in an amazing 52 days. The walls of Jerusalem under Nehemiah, the faithful, who'd really become the faithful governor, in spite of considerable opposition. And these are really his inspired memoirs, which have now become part of the Bible. And so, here he is, helping to rebuild the walls, but he needs a team around him. And maybe the first thing we can say, as we look at this sentence of verse 6, that the people worked with all their hearts. There was a commitment. All right, Nehemiah, we'll band together under your leadership. We'll get this thing done. And until that happened, Jerusalem was still completely open to attack. This is why they had to rebuild the walls, to show it this is a city, a proper city, with walls and boundaries and defenses. And it's part of the witness of God to the nations to have that center. They were to be a light to the nations. So it is a spiritual work that they were involved in, not just bricks and mortar. It's more than that. And the first thing I've learned from our little study here in this chapter is that teamwork brings courage into the work of God. Teamwork brings courage to the work. As I look on here at verse 14, 13 and 14, Nehemiah says, "Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes.'" He's the one who fights for them. But actually, he's still got his defenses in place with those who are bearing arms just to guard what the work that is being carried out. It simply reminds me that teamwork brings courage into the work of God. Don't be afraid. And we've posted our defenses, and we're all doing it together. There was this opposition. It comes as early as in chapter 2 with this man, Sanballat, and his cronies, who are from the north, and they cannot bear to see what is going on in Jerusalem. And so they pose a threat to what is going on. But Nehemiah is prepared for Sanballat. The attacks were fierce. They were also very subtle. After all, if you want to pull down a good work of God, what do? There are a number of things you can do. First of all, you can discourage the workers with derision. And that's what happens here in chapter 4, verse 1. Sanballat hears that they were rebuilding the wall. He becomes angry, is greatly incensed, and he ridicules the Jews. So it's not just, "Ha, ha, I am so amused." He was very angry. And that's why he tries to discourage them with this onslaught of derision. Verse 2, "What are these feeble Jews doing?" And then on to, verse 3, what are they building? "If even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones." So you discourage them with derision. That's one thing you can do. Second thing you can do is to divert them. And as I look on at chapter 6 and verse 1, when it's reported to Sanballat that the wall had been built, well then, they try to stop anything further happening by saying in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, "Look, come, let's meet together in one of the villages out in the plain of Ono. Could we just have a meeting? A conference? Could we just hold a conference out there? And we'd love to have a little time with you. Spend some days conferring together." Conference-itis is what you can suffer from when the work is there to be done and it gets snarled up. It talk, talk, talk. And that is the idea. Divert them. Take him away from the work. And Nehemiah's reply in chapter 6, verse 3, "I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? To you out there. We're not going to have a conference." Third thing you can do is to exhaust them. Chapter 6, verse 4. They sent for him four times. So they think to themselves, "We'll wear him out. We'll just go on." And so finally he caves in and says, "Oh, okay, I'll come." He doesn't come. He never comes. But that's the attempt. Exhaust them. I don't know what sort of a person you are in the teamwork that you may sometimes find yourself doing. Are you inspiring to work with? Or are you exhausting? Do you inspire your colleagues or do you tire them out? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves. The fourth thing you can do is to threaten them directly. And again in chapter 6 and verse 5, they start to spread rumors, which they hope will get back to Artaxerxes so he can then call a real halt to the work. But it comes to nothing. Their answer is to pray, to hold on. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 9, "Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt." And then on to verse 9, "But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat." They're aware. So there's vigilance that has to be exercised. Prayerful vigilance. And prayer seems to be God's chosen way of bringing about his will in lives and situations. It's his work. We pray, he works. We cooperate with him. And our cooperation is indeed invited and commanded. So that's a vital thing. The teamwork brings courage into the work of God. And secondly, I think we should add that teamwork brings power into the work of God. I look on at verse 6 again here. So we rebuilt the wall until all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. It's a people thing. We're all going to do it together. When you're doing it together, it takes the sort of individuality out of it, and it takes the strain out of it, actually, to know that other people are involved. It isn't just you trying to defy the hordes and trying to get the work done. A little simple illustration that comes to me is when I was a little boy in East Africa, and we saw one of these great locust swarms coming across the land. It was the day before they had really got the insecticides going, the pesticides. And I don't know if you've ever seen a locust swarm across Africa. They would come down from the Middle East, and then right down the Great Lakes, all the way down the Rift Valley, and then finally they got to us in Kenya. And the whole sky would be blotted out with the locusts. It would be like an eclipse. You couldn't would go dark. And they would settle on the branches of the trees. You could hear the branches cracking under the weight of the locusts. If you were in a car, you had to stop, because you couldn't see anything. There was just windscreen covered with locusts. And I remember seeing my dad standing on a grassy bank, trying to stem the, not millions, the trillions of locusts. And he was standing there with one tennis racket, swatting blindly. Every time he swatted, about another 10 would come down. But I remember even as a child of 6, I greatly admired my dad. But I thought, he'll never do it. Can't be done. A lot of Christian activity is like that. We're on our own too often, doing it ourselves, in the place of work, trying to be a witness just by ourselves, no backup, no support, no prayer help. We need a church around us. We need a group around us, so we can do it together. The teamwork here, they had to get the wall done. Nehemiah knew he wasn't going to do it alone. He was going to rely upon teamwork. And so it proved. And it gave an opportunity for them to prove it can be done when the team gets together. A third thing that occurs to me. So teamwork brings courage into the work of God and power into the work of God. And lastly, as I close, teamwork brings refreshment into the work of God. I look on at verse 19 and 20. I mean, I'm sorry we can't do all of these verses here. I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out. We are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. The encouragement of knowing that there were others there, and in the weak spots they would summon in help and you'd get refreshed. You'd get helped. That's the thought that comes to me, of fellowship, encouragement, refreshment, and there are others involved in the team. And it takes the strain out of it. Nehemiah faced some very demanding problems, but again and again these problems were brought before God and then shared with his friends. So we can ask ourselves again then, what are we doing in God's team, worldwide, locally here in London, in our own church, back at home, wherever it is? What are we actually doing? You remember, I've once or twice maybe referred to the founder of the Salvation Army, General Booth. His eldest daughter, Katie Booth, was a wonderful evangelist and became known in France when she went there. They gave her a military title. They called her La Maréchale, the Maréchal. And one day she was sitting in a train and a man was sitting opposite her. He recognized her from her campaigns. This is about 80 years ago. And he said, as though to show that he did his bit too, he said, oh, I go to church every week. She looked at him amazed. Is that all you do, she said? For a dying world? You go to church? That's all? There has to be a refreshment And when there's a refreshment, it's because people have said, I'm going to be part of this. I'm going to make life easier for the rest of them by my own presence and my own inspiration. Nehemiah made it easy for his friends because he was an inspirer, not an exhauster, not a tyrant. It seems that he inspired them. And the teamwork brings refreshment into the work of God. Prayer, fellowship, teamwork makes the difference. It brings courage, and power, and refreshment into the work of God. Shall we apply that to ourselves? What am I doing in my part, as my part of the team? Shall we pray? For the people worked with all their heart. Great God, our Father, here in this great capital city, we thank you for the privilege of being your representatives of the kingdom that will never be rubbed out. Help us then to gain courage from our Bible study this afternoon. Please send us back into the particular environment in which we work and live, that we may be reminded of the call, the tug of the kingdom and its imperatives, for your name's sake. Amen.